What they can do is, one, is to actually not just follow written texts where you just say, this should be done, right? When you create a policy to boost the small and medium enterprises is one thing, but to see it work and modify it to make it simpler and make it practical to the small and medium enterprise leaders or the operators is a more realistic approach. Meaning, when you have a policy that says you'll have a fund to make it easy for the small and medium enterprises to access finance, you have to make sure that that fund, the prerequisites for those finance to be tapped are not complex, they're easy for the operators, whom you have to bear in mind their capacity to put together proposals, to pitch books to promote their businesses is lacking. So a lot has to be done to make it much easier for this finance to be tapped. It's no point having a guarantee fund of different nature, of a different sort in different fields, when it actually ends up unused or a bigger percentage of it is not used because of the way it's structured. In other words, when a fund is in place to remove the problem of access to finance, you have to look and revisit every year. And when you hear business players saying, this is complex, you have to modify it in such a way that year after year, you make it more practical, much easier to understand, its usability to be very practical. So that's one of the ways. The other way is that you find, and I'm talking about individual countries and the region, because the economies are similar. The same problems that afflict one of the sectors are similar in another country. So when we talk about East Africa, people have come together in cooperatives, in associations, to improve their capacity to market, to improve their capacity to negotiate for finance, to improve their capacity for management. But we've had experiences where cooperative leaders or associations, people have collected, who have formed themselves into collective investments, are cheated by their own leadership. And the thing is that either they are cheated by unscrupulous leaders that they elect, or they are simply not good managers. So when you have people willing to come together to put their small resources together, you need capacity in terms of improving their management. And because they've created themselves into entities that are viable, what you need to do is then target, either get consultants who can manage their money, who can help them put proposals together, who can help them market, who can help them audit, who can help them interpret and promote good governance in terms of corporate governance in these entities they create.
When you say that in some of these cooperatives and some of these associations that there is either cheating by leadership or perhaps poor management, are you calling on cooperatives or associations to have, for example, stricter bylaws or rules, some form of transparency? Or on the other hand, too, if they need better training, better leadership, whose responsibility is it to provide that training?
Oh, it's a combination of factors. The government, in terms of creating the legal framework, the infrastructure for that kind of settlement of disputes or punishing the wrongdoers, but that's not enough. When you punish people for doing wrong, either because they don't have the capacity to manage, and you still get from the same pool, same people who are not well experienced, it doesn't help. So you need that system to actually point out who has taken these people for a ride. But at the same time, you need to train the other leaders or the would-be leaders, whereby, for example, East Africa Business Council has a grant agreement in place with Africa Capacity Building Foundation, as well as different institutions of higher learning. And these grants actually help in training for these kind of leaders in tax management, in business plans, in different ways. So governments, donors, Africa Capacity Building Foundation, all of them play a role. All of them play a role. And even the members themselves, they actually fund their contributions for their subscriptions. They can use some of this money to actually go for courses, for exposure, for training.
In the West, and especially in the U.S., what we here talk about, there is an emphasis for less bureaucracy, less regulation, less taxes on small and medium enterprises. Is that pretty much the same issues in East Africa?
Tax administration is really not a big issue. It's just that the most of the small and medium enterprises here and the informal sector have this fear and the myth about revenue collection agencies. It's just something some of them are not comfortable with because some of them do not appreciate the usefulness of paying tax. Traditionally, they haven't paid tax. So even we have to educate them about the importance of paying tax, because by formalizing and by doing business in a more structured manner, in a formal way, you can actually then access training, access information, be identified by capacity building agencies, be identified by different organizations that help you to market, to standardize your products. But at the same time, you're also identified by the revenue collecting agency. But then they have to be educated to tell them that you have so many benefits, but at the same time you have to comply with tax laws. But when you actually tell them the benefits outweigh what they may consider some money coming out of their pocket to the tax agency, and you tell them it's a small contribution compared to the overall benefit, then they understand. You'll not be surprised to find informal sector players trying to hide goods that are actually tax-free, trying to bring goods from the East African region, feeling that they have a way of dodging taxes or trying to make an extra buck, not knowing that actually those goods from East Africa are exempt, are import tax exempt. So it's a matter of education.
What's an example of some of the benefits that are available that many small business people simply, again, as a matter of education, simply don't realize are there to help them?
Some of the benefits are, for example, market information. Market information is another benefit that these small and medium or informal sector can benefit from. You find in one region of East Africa, the people are not having enough food supplies, yet in another area there's a lot of maize and a lot of crops so market information is also very important, so they get markets. When you talk about how do you standardize your products before you sell them to the East African region to be able to actually comply with the standards requirements, the bureaus of standards in East Africa can then identify you, and you have a benefit of gaining from them their formula, their procedures, how to get, that's another benefit. The other benefit I can tell you is that once you formalize, then you are known and you can be targeted for education, for training, for ways of improving your skills. The other benefit is they can then help you to actually team up with others if some other associations or individuals put together for a common purpose. So those are the benefits that can come up when people are identified and they are formalized.